Well, it's good to see everyone this morning. It's such a beautiful Lord's Day we have, and we're so thankful that God's blessed us with this beautiful day. Good to see you all, and good to have those who are joining us through Zoom, and we're so thankful you could be with us in that way, but we pray and hope that you can be with us in person soon. I want to say the best news we have today, in Lord's Day, of course, when we can come together to worship Him, but we're glad to have Randy Grisham here with us this morning. Well, we've been praying for you, thinking about you, and we're so thankful that you're here. And we thank God for that, for your progress. You and Jamie, y'all, it's great. We're glad to have you. So good. Vacation Bible School starts tonight, and it starts at 6:30. We want everyone to be here, if you can. And at 6:30, of course, classes for all ages, anchored in faith. We all need to hear these lessons, great Bible stories that deal with water and our faith in God. And it's a good illustration. And we'll have singing and refreshments, of course, with Bible classes. Our teachers are great. They're so prepared. We're so thankful for all the hard work that has gone on. And we're just ready and glad that it's here. So that's tonight, 6:30. Okay, not 6 o'clock, but 6:30. It'll be 6:30 to 8 o'clock nightly. And King will have his adult class in here for you, so it'll be a wonderful time. So for all ages, please come be with us. Bring your friends, kids and adults, all ages. Invite your friends to come be with us tonight and through Wednesday night. Okay, Friday, there was a group that was able to go. I know several wanted to go to Holly Springs and to help load the truck for the Ukraine trip. Several got to go. It was such a nice, it was a great experience. Hard work. It was so great. We'll have updates on more things that can be done and more opportunities for you to go if you need to. Now, sometimes they don't pack the truck. Sometimes they just load the buckets, you know, so they'll have updates on what they're doing and the time so that if you're able to go. But it was wonderful. It was a great thing to see what you've done, the donations and the items that you were able to bring and putting those into, you know, taking, you know, Lord willing, taking 3 weeks to get there, but how they organized and packed that semi truck trailer. It was so neat at how their plan, how they did it, and just such good people. Anyway, it was great. So if you can be a part of that and be present, but it's a great thing. But we're thankful we had that opportunity. Also, remind the college age and young professionals that you have a new class that meets on Wednesday nights. Winston and Michael Freese are teaching that class, and we're excited about that. They're going to meet in this big classroom at the end of the hall by the supply room. But that's on Wednesday nights. Of course, this Wednesday night will be occupied for crafts and things like that. So this week is a little different schedule because VBS, but that's going to Wednesday nights. That's our new college age and young professionals. If you have any questions, please see Winston or Michael about that. And another youth event we've planned for, Winston's planned for Saturday, June the 18th, this Saturday, all the youth and adults, and we're going to go to laser tag at Shelby Farms and have a good time. In Memphis, we're going to need to be there by 11. So there'll be details about what time we're going to try to leave from the church building. And we'll have more updates on that. But there's a sheet down front. If you plan to go, we need to know as soon as possible. He would like to know, Winston would, so we can make preparations for that, for travel and for eating somewhere after. But sign the sheet down front if you want to go. Sign it if you're a parent. Sign it for your kids so we can have an exact number. If you have any questions, please see Winston. That's next Saturday, laser tag. Okay, also the sheet down front is Lads to Leaders sign-up sheet. Name of your kid on the form and circle all the activities they would like to participate in. June 25th, Saturday, there'll be a kids' Devo. This is for fifth grade and younger. Have a picnic and singing and a devotional. More details will be upcoming about that, but that's June the 25th. Put it on your calendar. That's a Saturday. I want to read this card I have that was sent to the Beach Hill Church. And this says, to the members of the Beach Hill Church, it's difficult to find the right words to express our deepest gratitude for the way that you all have blessed our family during one of the darkest times of our lives. The help that you gave, the food you helped prepare and serve, and the generous donations that you made will never, ever be forgotten. We are humbled by all the ways that you've supported us during this loss. Thank you for being the hands and feet of Jesus. Forever thankful, the family of Ben King. Let's continue to remember our sick. Remember my dad, Tommy Simpson. He'll begin radiation and chemo treatments this week. And also, please be thinking about Mallory and Winston. June the 22nd, they have an MRI, a fetal MRI scheduled, and they're going to meet with the team that's planning to, the delivery and the intervention when Theo, the little boy, when he's born. So please be praying for them through all this and as they prepare. But that's June the 22nd, an important date. Also, Samantha Weathersby, we've mentioned her and how she was diagnosed with stage 1 breast cancer. She had surgery this past Thursday, and she's doing well, recovering. We pray that she'll continue. And also, Ms. Lola Hurt is Brenda Ward's mom, and she remains a patient at the Tippett County Hospital and recovering from some broken vertebrae. And then Ms. Shirley Estes is recovering from her recent fall and a lot of pain, and we have the bag for cards for her, and it's in the foyer, and we're going to collect those tonight. So if you can kind of get those here by tonight, we'll get those to her, and I know that it will be great encouragement for her if you can do that. I think that is all of our announcements this morning. As we begin our worship, these men will be leading us this morning. Kelly Ward will be reading from God's Word. Graydon Grady has our opening prayer. Our closing prayer will be by Ken Simpson. And King will bring us the lesson of the hour. And if you would now, please join in as Stacy Simmons will lead us in our singing.
Our first song will be number 652. We'll sing all three verses of 652.
There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing His word. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh,
we'll sing all three verses of 9 through 7.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. Thank you.
our scripture reading and opening prayer will be number 710. We'll sing the first, second, and last verse of 710. More about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus let me learn, more of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me.
This morning, I'll be taking the reading from Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against the flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in its place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the saints.
Let us pray. Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for letting us come here today to learn more about you and apply it to everyday walks of life. Lord, this upcoming week, we've got our vacation Bible school. Pray that you watch over all the children. Let them learn and grow closer to you each day. Lord, there's many events coming up here forward within the next few months. Pray that you give everybody safety and that we have good turnouts to those. At this time, Lord, I want to pray with those that's on our prayer list that we've listed this morning. Pray that you be with doctors that are running tests. Be with Dr. Simpson, Lord. Be with Theo. Pray that he gets good results and that they have peace of mind, Lord. Be with the others that are on our list. Be with those that need our prayers. Be with our church and our congregation, Lord. This time we pray for our country. We pray that the leaders look to you for guidance. But most of all, Lord, we thank you for your Son who died on the cross for the remission of our sins. Please forgive us of all our many sins. In Jesus' name, amen.
Number 141. We'll sing all three verses of 141. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a glory is mine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story.
If you would like to follow our study with your own study Bible, we'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 in the first 13 verses of that chapter. We welcome you to this service as you've already been welcomed well. And we've heard important announcements about our concerns, our interests, and about our plans about Vacation Bible School. This is an exciting time. These next few days will be times in which we will be able to enjoy what we've prepared for and look forward to the opportunities that come our way by God's blessings. We're thankful for visitors who are with us today, and there are quite a number of you who are with us this Sunday morning. Family members and others, and we're grateful for your presence in this worship service and in the Sunday school hour. Some of you were present then. It's good to see Randy and Jamie walk in during the Sunday school class and to have them back with us today. About 2.5 years ago, or 3 years ago or so, one of my Texas nephews was here, led singing. Alex is back with us today, and his wife Haley, she was with him at that time, and they have with them another family member who has since arrived. And Ralph Howard will be a year old on June 21st. And we were glad to have them with us last night. And they're here with us this morning for worship. And there are other visitors. We're grateful for all of you and your presence here today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, when Paul referred to things that were written for our instruction, he was speaking about the Lord's deliverance of his people Israel from slavery in Egypt and what they did, what they experienced in the wilderness. And he said all of that was written for our instruction. That is for us who are Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, and who are the church that belongs to God. Because that's how he identified the readers of this letter back in chapter 1 in the first three verses, when he said he was writing to the church of God at Corinth, God's people there, sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. And then he says in chapter 10, that account back there in the Old Testament about what God did with Israel, what happened in the wilderness, all of that was written for us, written for our instruction. The word he uses there is a word that means teaching and warning. And by that instruction, we are warned and we are guided. This is a connection that's very important to we who study the Bible, to you and me, to us as Christians, that we have this connection between what was written before and how that applies to us today as people who belong to God through Christ. And we have a respect for that that's evident in our vacation Bible school studies every year. There's an honoring of that connection to which God leads us that shows us that the whole Bible holds value for us. And that in the early church, there was respect for that. And so Paul wants the Corinthian Christians, some of whom came from a Jewish background, some of them from a Gentile background in which they had already been taught some of the Old Testament, and some of who came from a background that was just thoroughly pagan. He wanted all of them to know about the whole Bible and the value to be found in all of the Bible. And for us who come to God through a new covenant, through the gospel of Jesus Christ, we need to learn that God has taught a lot of lessons in the Old Testament that have truths in them that are timeless and can help us. So in the study of this passage, and we've looked at it in some lessons through the years and times past, in the study and the restudy of that, we have an experience that we often have in the study of the Bible. And I'm speaking of something here that is familiar to you as Bible readers and Bible students, some of you for many, many years, that you can read a passage and you can know the comfortable experience of seeing things you learned long ago and they're still there, they're still in your Bible. And so you remember those truths you learned, those lessons as you read through a New Testament passage. But if you read closely and carefully, you have the experience and you know this, of seeing something, you know, I didn't see that before. That was there all the time, and I didn't see it. I slowed down, and I read that, and I noticed that Paul or Peter or John used a word that I had not given attention to, or said something in a certain way that should have been apparent to me before, but it wasn't because I was focused on some other lesson that was in the text. Now, this is a common occurrence because of the profound nature of the Bible as God's word, the depth of what it has to say. The more you read it and study it, the more you see. Here we have a passage in which Paul begins to say to his brethren that I don't want you to be unaware of what happened back there when God acted through Moses for the good of the Israelites in Egypt. And then he begins to unfold that by describing it in a certain way that's unusual. If you look at the background story in the book of Exodus and the book of Numbers, you have the historical account there of what actually happened. But what Paul's doing in 1 Corinthians 10 is he's presenting that as a model or a figure in order to make comparisons with what God did then for Israel and what God has done with us, the church. What he did through Moses and what he's now done for us through Jesus Christ. All right, you catch on to that at the beginning of this as Paul tells that story, that he's making that comparison. And then you begin to see some other things. Well, some of this is evident. You can follow Paul's outline of this and these verses very easily. There's nothing that's hidden or tricky about this. So he speaks about the Israelites at the Red Sea and how they were all under the cloud and in the sea. You remember what it said back in Exodus, the wall of water on one hand and on the other, God parted the sea and they walked across on dry land. So they're surrounded, but beneath them is the ground, of course, but it's miraculous because it's dry ground. And a wall of water on each side, and above them, the cloud that represented God's presence and protection over them. So they're completely enveloped. God made a tunnel for them, so to speak. And they walk through that. They come out on the other side, and Egypt is behind them where they were slaves, and all the disgrace and suffering of that. And they will never be in Egypt again as a nation of people. It's behind them. But where are they now? God's brought them into a wilderness. Well, how are they going to live out there? It's a place of almost no population in the region of it through which they passed. It's a barren area, but God takes care of them. He provided for them. God saw to it, in fact, as the scriptures tell us, and this shows his great power, like the feeding of them every day, 6 days a week with the manna, the bread from heaven, the food of angels, and with the quail. And God saw to it they had water to drink and for their animals. So God cared for them, and even their clothing and their shoes did not wear out. I mean, they were out there a long time, 40 years, as it turned out, in the wilderness, and God took care of them. But here Paul speaks of God giving them spiritual food and spiritual drink because he's wanted to make a comparison with our experience as Christians. So they were baptized into Moses under the cloud and in the sea, all of them. And all of them had the same blessings of spiritual food and spiritual drink. And the rock that followed them, he said, that was Christ, the Christ. Because they're a part of God's plan for his chosen people that would lead to Christ, the seed of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, through whom God would bless all the world, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. So they've been brought into this, brought out of Egypt and into this in the working out of God's plan. And Paul wants us to see that, how important these events were and what these people were a part of in God's work for all the world. And then sadly, he says, howbeit with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown, scattered in the wilderness. What happened? And he begins to tell us. Now he says these things are there for us as examples. And we're to learn from this, not to desire, to crave after the evil things they craved, not to become guilty of idolatry as they did, to lift something above God in our hearts and lives, not to descend to the ways of immorality as they did in their conduct, or to put God to the test, as they did by their belligerence and their stubbornness and their rebellion, or to grumble and complain about their circumstances and their conditions because they didn't get what they wanted, when they wanted it, and where or in the way they wanted it, for all that God did for them, for all of his blessings, and they responded like that. God wasn't pleased, said Paul. How do you know that? Because most of them never made it to where God was leading them. They were scattered. They perished in the wilderness. Again, Paul comes back to that and he says, these things were written for our instruction. We are in the age that is at the end of the working out of God's plan, the summation, the consummation, the end of the ages in the Christian age, the age of the gospel. All that God was doing back then was to bring us, humanity, to this point and the blessings we have in Christ. All of that was written then, that we today may read that and learn from it and our lives be blessed by it. Take God seriously. And so he says to the individual Christian, let him who thinks he stands, the word stand here means that he thinks he's got his feet firmly planted and he's going nowhere spiritually. He's right with God. I'm okay with God. God's okay with me and I'm going nowhere. It's going to be good from now on. Let the man who thinks that, said Paul, learn the lesson of these scriptures. Remember what happened to Israel. Some of them may have thought that because of who we are, we're the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God did all this to the Egyptians to bring us out of Egypt. And we've got it made now. And where did most of them end up? In scattered graves in the wilderness. Wherefore, let him, that is the Christian today, who has that kind of false confidence, let him take heed, lest he fall, just as they fell. Then Paul concludes that passage with a note of truth that was just as true in the days of those Israelites as it is today for people of the gospel. It's about temptation, about sin, and about God's help for us. And we'll take that up in just a moment, but I want to go back and look at that passage to highlight some other fundamental things that may not occur at first in the reading of this passage. What I've done is give you a summation of it, an outline that's easy to follow, and some basic points that we've called attention to before. But I want to go back and point out, first of all, that phrase that those people, the Israelites, were baptized into, because that's what that little preposition means, into Moses, under the cloud and in the sea. They were baptized into Moses. Why Moses? Who chose Moses? Well, they asked that in the wilderness, didn't they? Who made you leader? Your brother Aaron. We want some other leaders. And so they rebelled against God and what God had chosen. It was God who chose Moses and empowered Moses. It was God who authenticated Moses before the people. God selected him, sent him to Egypt to speak to his people, gave signs that confirmed him as God's spokesman. I'm talking about miraculous powers, signs. And at the Red Sea, in a decisive way, if you read Exodus chapter 14, God made it clear to the Israelites, Moses is the man. You believe in him, and you believe in me. That's what the Bible says there. They believed in the Lord, and they believed in Moses. Now, there's a difference between God and a man, but this was God's man, and God had chosen him to speak for God, the words that God gave him to speak, to do the signs that God gave him to do, to set before the people, and to lead them. So they came to the Red Sea, and in that crucial moment when the sea was behind them and the Egyptians were coming toward them, and they thought the end had come upon them, or they might, if they survived, they're going back into slavery. God told Moses, you stretch that staff out over the sea, and you tell the people to go forward. And God acted, and he delivered them. And the Egyptians there perished and God's people were safe on the other side. God chose Moses. And the people needed to learn that lesson. Some of them had a hard time learning it. God chose Jesus Christ, his son. And when Peter preached that sermon on Pentecost Day, do you remember how he concluded it? Let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God hath made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. The rebellion of the people against the will and the way of God and his choice was evident in the case of Moses and was evident in the case of Jesus. They rejected him, cast him out of the city, and killed him as if he was a despised criminal. God made him Lord and Christ. And Jesus said to his disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." God exalted him above all rule, authority, power, and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this world, but in the world to come. And he gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. And if we are true to God as individual Christians, it will be our desire every day to honor him who is our Lord. One God chose to be our Lord and Savior. And we will honor him as a congregation in everything, absolutely everything. We will want to honor the will of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's a fundamental thing in this passage. But you know, that didn't occur to me the first few times I read and studied it. This emphasis upon God's choice of a leader to whose authority we are to submit. Israel was to submit to Moses. And we are to submit to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's a second truth in this passage that may not catch the eye of the reader until he studies it more and more. That has to do with what happened to the people in the wilderness. God did not cause his people to sin and fall in the wilderness. Why did they sin? Why was it when they got out of slavery in Egypt and they were free from that, free from it forever, that they start sinning? And I mean, it starts immediately. They start complaining and grumbling and showing a lack of faith in God. And when God gives them 10 commandments by his own voice and the power that was exhibited at Mount Sinai, what then do? They turn to idolatry. They turn to immorality. They start breaking all the commandments. What's going on here with these people? How is it they could experience what they experienced, saw the plagues in Egypt that God did by his power, see the mightiest nation on earth brought down and humbled, Pharaoh and his people, so that God would deliver slaves from Egypt? How could they see all that? How could they see what happened at the Red Sea? And then just turn to all kinds of sin in the wilderness. Well, one thing we can know is it wasn't the environment, was it? The physical environment. I mean, God didn't bring them out into a physical environment where they were tempted every day by access to all kinds of things that appeal to sinful desires. They brought a moral environment with them, though, didn't they? And where was it? In their hearts? Moses spoke about what was available in Egypt. He saw it for what it was. Yes, pleasures of sin. Hebrews chapter 11. They have their season in a person's life and in a society. And they're captivating. They can be enslaving. And that kind of slavery is worse than a political slavery. They brought that environment with them in their hearts into the wilderness. And Jesus spoke of that in his ministry when he said it's the things inside a person proceeding from it that defile it. Because it's out of the heart that there comes out in various ways evil thoughts. And he gave a long list of sins there. Mark 7, verses 20 through 23. All kinds of sins. And Jesus said, where do they come from? In the heart. So it's not the physical environment, the moral environment of the physical environment around us that leads us or causes us to sin. It's not God who causes us to sin. We must look within. Joshua, when he spoke to the people near the end of his life and they were living in the land of promise, he said, you've got to make a choice. You mean even now at this late day, we have to make a choice? Aren't we God's people? Hasn't he brought us to the promised land? We've made it all the way through the wilderness, and here we are. Now, isn't that interesting that Joshua said to them, now you have to make a choice. Are you going to really serve the Lord? Or you'll be like your ancestors who served those gods in Egypt. Or even farther back, over in the area of Mesopotamia, Babylon, and all that region? Or are you going to serve the Lord? Well, it ought to be easy to serve the Lord now. We've been through all the struggles, the difficulties, and here we are now in the promised land. Joshua knew better than that. We take the moral environment with us, and we can encounter other problems in the environment in which we live. And they would face that too in the land of promise. Now there's another point that we see in Paul's words. It's about the choice of Moses. It's about why they sinned in the wilderness. It's a warning to Christians about the thoughts of our own hearts and how we respond to God. But the third point he makes that I want you to know is that in all this, Paul is reminding us of God's purpose with those Israelites. Why did God go into Egypt, bring them out? And then why did he bring them into a wilderness? Why did he bring them through the hardships, the difficulties, the tests that they would face spiritually in the wilderness? Because God's purpose was more than just getting his people out of Egypt. And out of slavery. God's purpose was more than just getting them to a better country. His purpose was to save their souls. That's always God's purpose. That was his purpose with Adam and Eve when they sinned in the Garden of Eden. God's purpose from the very beginning has been a purpose for redemption. How do you take these people that have been living in Egypt and all that's available to them there and how it's corrupted their hearts? How do you get them out of Egypt and into the wilderness and begin to change them so that they spiritually become the people that represent God's will? And that's the story we're reading there in Exodus and Numbers. About God's work to redeem his people spiritually, to save them and change their lives, and to bring them to himself. He said that at the very beginning when he spoke about bringing them out of Egypt. Exodus 19, twice he says in that passage in the first six verses, I brought you to myself. Well, you think that ought to have an impact upon an individual, upon a whole nation of people, the work of God to bring us to himself? to be in relationship with God, the holy God, the redeeming, saving, and merciful God. Should that not have an effect upon us? That too is a fundamental Paul's talking about here. The love of God who will help us whenever we're tested and tempted, whatever struggle we face in life, as he was with Israel, he will be with us through Jesus Christ. He will enable us to endure, verse 13, said Paul. That endurance is far more than just surviving. And it's easy to be deceived about that, to think that if we physically survive, we add some more years, we get older and older, we're making it. God's will is being done in our lives because we're getting older and older. That's a deception. God's work is not about us surviving and living and keep on living. It's about being brought to himself. And when we leave this world, we want to leave as people who have been brought to God, so that when we leave here, he will bring us home to himself forever. Let us stand and sing.
Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary.
Taking of the Lord's Supper is hymn number 922. We'll sing the first and second verses of 922.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. My grace shall see.
start opening up your waiver.
We'll be reading this morning from 1 Peter chapter 2, and beginning in verse 20. 1 Peter chapter 2. For what glory is it if when you are buffeted for your own faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our own sins in his body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. For you were as sheep gone astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. May we pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this bread. We ask that you would bless it, bless those of us that partake of it, bring to our memory the sacrifice that was given for us. In the name of Jesus, amen. There we go, Val. Father, we thank you for this cup. We ask that you would please forgive us our sins and bless us with the memory of that blood spilled for us, that washed us. And we pray in the name of the one who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Amen. That concludes the communion, and now we'll give thanks for the offering. Father, we thank you for our many, many blessings that you bless us with so abundantly. We pray that we might give as we're prospered. May we never be ungrateful, but always considering our blessings, being always thankful and eager to support the work. In the name of Jesus, amen.
We are grateful for your presence here today. To our visitors, please come back again at any opportunity that you may have. Remember our Vacation Bible School tonight, 6:30. Our closing song will be number 288. We'll sing the first verse only of 288, followed by our closing prayer. Would you please stand?
When my way groweth drear, precious thought, keeper near. When my life is all but gone, hear my cry, hear my call.
Father in heaven, we humble ourselves before thee this morning, grateful for the many ways you bless us each and every day. We're thankful that we could come here this morning to worship you. We pray that our worship has been acceptable in thy sight. We ask your blessing upon our Vacation Bible School program. We are thankful for all the hands that are taking an active part in that good work. We're mindful of our sick, Father. We pray that you will be with them. We're grateful that Randy's back with us today. We're thankful for your son, his sacrifice for us. Keep us all safe till we meet here again tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.